Let's read together Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. In this last section of Luke chapter 4, we see our Lord's power as the creator over demons and his power as the great physician over disease. Let's begin by reading verses 31 through 41. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 4 with some background notes. After our Lord's rejection at Nazareth, he went down to Capernaum, which was a town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. As far as the record goes, Jesus never returned to Nazareth, where they rejected him. The Lord will not force himself on anyone, then or today. We learn from Matthew's gospel that the Lord did not just visit Capernaum, but he made this village his new home. I'm reading Matthew chapter 4. And verse 13, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea." You know, you can visit the ruins of Capernaum today and even see some remains of what most archaeologists believe was Peter's house. The reason they are convinced that it was Peter's house is because they found a 4th century Byzantine church built over a 1st century house with Christian symbols on its walls. Most likely, this was Peter's house where the early Christians met. In the Lord's announcement of his messiahship at Nazareth, remember he had quoted from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and stopped his quotation in the middle of verse 2. He did not quote the last part of the verse, which speaks about the day of vengeance of God, which will not come until the end times and the second coming of Christ. The Lord told the people in the synagogue at Nazareth that the part of the prophecy that he quoted was being fulfilled in their day. He read from the scroll of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Now here at Capernaum, we see this scripture being fulfilled as the Lord preaches and teaches the good news with authority and brings release and freedom to the demon-possessed and downtrodden and brings healing to the sick and diseased. Now just one more background note before we move to our doctrinal points. Verse 38 makes it clear that Peter had a mother-in-law and was therefore married. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we also read of Peter as being a married man. In the first section of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was arguing for the rights of apostles, and that included marriage, and he used Peter as an example. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 3. "My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas, or Peter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul then goes on to say that he gave up certain rights in order to be more effective in the ministry. But clearly we see here that Peter was married. Anyone who tries to teach some kind of celibate priesthood certainly cannot appeal to the status of Peter. Peter was definitely a married man. That brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last section of Luke chapter 4. Doctrinal point number one. As the great creator, Jesus could cast out any and all demons. As the great creator, Jesus could cast out any and all demons. In verses 33 through 37, we read that Jesus cast an unclean spirit out of a demon-possessed man in the synagogue at Capernaum. Now, we learn a number of significant facts about demons from this event. Number one, demons can be in religious places such as synagogues. There are certainly many churches today where demons are present, churches that do not honor the person and work of Christ. Number two, different demons have different characteristics. In this case, it was an unclean demon. That is, an evil spirit that caused morally unclean thoughts and actions. This does not mean, by the way, that everyone who has a morally unclean thought is demon-possessed. No. And then there are demons that have other characteristics and can cause other problems. We read of doctrines of demons in 1 Timothy chapter 4. This kind of evil spirit is involved in spreading false doctrine through false teachers. We read of a deaf and dumb spirit in Mark chapter 9. We read of a spirit of infirmity in Luke chapter 13. So demons can cause sickness. But again, don't get the idea that every time a person is sick, it is because of a demon. Notice how in verses 40 and 41 here in Luke chapter 4, sickness and disease are differentiated and distinguished from demonic possession. Everybody see that in verses 40 and 41? And when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." A third fact that we learn about demons from this passage is that they do recognize who Jesus is. We see in verse 34 that the unclean demon used the voice of the man it possessed and said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Also in verse 41 we read, "And demons also came out of many crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.'" So demons know the truth about Jesus, as James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Now, the reason that Jesus told the demons to be quiet was that the Lord did not want the testimony of demons. A fourth point about demons that we learn from this passage, as well as other scriptures, is that demons are under the sovereign control of God and therefore must submit to the authority of Christ. And that really is our first doctrinal point. As the great creator, Jesus could cast out any and all demons. All evil spirits are subject to Christ because he created them. Colossians 1:16. "For by him," that is by Christ, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Colossians 1:16. Now, the demons were not created as evil spirits. No. They were created as holy angels, but they became evil spirits when they rebelled along with Satan. But because they were created by the eternal Son of God, they must be submissive to the authority of Christ. As the great creator, Jesus could cast out any and all demons. Doctrinal point number two. As the great physician, Jesus could heal any and all diseases. As the great physician, Jesus could heal any and all diseases. The Lord not only healed Peter's mother-in-law of a high fever, But on this occasion, he healed any and all who were sick with various diseases at Capernaum. Verse 40, once again, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. The Lord is the great physician. He could then and he can today heal any and all diseases. However, the Lord may choose not to heal every sickness and disease of every believer today. Not all sick people in Israel were healed during our Lord's earthly ministry. This was a special time at Capernaum to show that the Lord could heal any and all diseases. Now, there are many reasons why the Lord may choose not to heal a sick person today. Don't jump to the conclusion that the reason believers who are not healed in answer to prayer is because they do not have enough faith or that the prayers don't have enough faith. No. There are many other possible reasons. You can bring glory to God from a life of suffering. And you can bring glory to God in the way you handle suffering. So the Lord can heal all sickness and disease, but may not. A lot depends on the particular situation. However, the point of this passage is, as the great physician, Jesus could heal any and all diseases. Now, what about practical application from this last section of Luke chapter 4? Have a quiet time to stay focused. Have a quiet time to stay focused. Verses 42 through 44. And when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. The people of Capernaum wanted the Lord to stay there and do more miracles, but the Lord stayed focused on his overall mission, as we read in verse 43. But he said to them, I must preach the gospel of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Notice the focus of our Lord's ministry was on preaching, not on doing miracles. And his purpose was to preach the good news throughout Israel, not just at Capernaum. Now, how did the Lord, as the Son of Man, stay focused on his purpose and overall ministry and mission of preaching the kingdom of God without getting sidetracked and just meeting the physical needs of so many people around him? I think the key was the quiet place of verse 42. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. Mark's account says that he went out while it was still dark and was praying. Mark 1:35. It was that quiet time alone with the Father that kept our Lord focused in the midst of so many needs. We too have to get alone with the Lord each day to stay focused on what the Lord has called us to do. So let me ask you, do you have a quiet time each day in order to read God's word and pray? How can the Lord direct us if there is no communication? Have a quiet time to stay focused.